adopting the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the only criterion. Otherwise, nothing matters. If you see a person claims to be a buzuk, a sheikh, he transforms stones into gold, walks on the water, and he flies in the air, but his daily life is inconsistent with the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then you will know there's some shaitan is influence here. Some shaitan is saying, no matter who the person is. Never be all for names and who at demonstrations. No, the criteria is the sunnah. See if the person follows in the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the biggest element, the biggest karamat, is to follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nothing besides it. So this is what they do now. It is like how the sheikh now make tawajjud on the people. And they bring out women folk also for itikaf. And from where? From a different country they come. They come traveling now with the plane. They sell from the time they can't leave their homes until the time they go back. Look at them. What they have to go through. At the airport, in the plane, at the airport, in the hotel. Where is that hijab? Where is the iman, the hairat of the Ghazi? One Maliki Fakir, a big wali also, quoting his kitab, and this is in a fiqh kitab, it's not happening in a tawuf kitab, it's in a fiqh kitab. He said that once there was a conference, did you know? The Shayateen of the East and the Shayateen of the West. There was a conference. They also get the Eastern Bloc, Western Bloc, or Muslim, or Shayateen also. They had this conference. Right? And at this conference, they discussed who the Shayateen of the East said that we are the best. The Amal that we perform excels. Excel was due to God. They said, no, we are the best. So the Shayateen of the West asked the Shayateen of India, okay, explain some of your deeds. So they explained some of their deeds, what they do, they cause all the problems, that problem, wars they cause murders and death. They gave a whole long story. So the Shayateen of the West says, we'll just explain to you one of our best amount. So when the time comes for Hajj, then what we do when time comes for Hajj? Now I think in those days they had a sort of a system. Then we sent out the agents. And these agents go around now. And they give bayans on the fazail of Umrah and Hajj. And then the people, all they flock to now, going for Umrah, they come out for Umrah, they come out for Hajj, for Nafal Umrah, Nafal Hajj, they come out. In droves they come out. And then, from the time they leave their homes, this is the Shayateen of the West said, from the time they leave their homes, until the time they return back, we involve them in sin all along the journey, in sin. So when the Shayateen of the East heard this, they stood up in the way and said, we accept that, we have accepted that, we have surpassed us. So as they determined, the sins that we are committed on the journey, sins are committed, say, everyone is oblivious of this. Now say, we go for Umrah, Nafilum, we go for Umrah, or Nafilat. One person came to us and Bishar Hafir Hamdulalay. He said, I've accumulated 2,000 dinar. I'm to go for Hajj. What do you say? This was Nafil Hajj. What do you say about it? So the Bishop Hafir asked him, tell me, why do you want to go? Are you going to get Sawab? Or are you going for a tour, for a holiday? He said, I'm going for Sawab. So he said, if you say you are going for Sawab, then I will. And you come for advice. So I will tell you, I must give you the best advice. He said, Mr. Shah Al-Mutaman,
one who gives advice, he must be a person of trust, amanat, so you must give the best advice. So say you take this 2,000 dinars, no, 200 dinars here, 200 dinars, either give it to 10 poor people, fukara, 10, then give each one 20 dinars, or give it to 10 widows, or give it to 10 orphans, or give it to 10 people who can't make ends meet, 10 persons. And then I promise you that you will get the sawab of 200 hajj. 200 hajj. Then you can go on all the subsidies, you'll get one sawab of 100. But if you may accept this advice of mine, then you will get the sawab of 200 hajj. So then he says, Hazrat, but my heart is set on. Then Shaykh says, that your heart will not be set aside until you don't go and squander this 200,000 men, because it now creates a doubt in your breast. So as long as you don't go spend it in the wrong path, you are not going to be set aside. So you need to understand that you say sawab, you want sawab. If you want sawab, you get it easy and you get so much more, 200 times the amount of sawab. So the Hajj, look at that, the son, look at that, face of his father, and of his mother. One Hajj is recorded. He looks with affection at the face of his parents, you get the sawab of one maqbool Hajj. The Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, if I look many times again at the faces of my parents, so you be sovereign. Said, as many times as you look, so many hajj you get. You perform the ishraq, salat, the thing. You get the sawab of hajj and umrah. Yet you go now on these journeys now. Look what takes place. I mean, sometimes travel, the women folk travel, in the plane also, at the airport. What they have to go through in the plane, day in the hotels, in the foyers, in the lifts, the thing, and women to end now worse in the harem itself. In the harem itself, right in the mataf area of them. So I say it's just one long stream of sin coming being committed. So now I say there, this is the type of a mockery which is made of such a wonderful ibadah as Ithaka, time of solitude, time of seclusion, time of muraqabah, time of muhasabah, it's squandered in merrymaking in function. It is essential that in the ulama I have to speak against these things. It does not matter who it is, who the person is, who the sheikh is, how prominent he may be, he has to be, as Imam Abu Hanifa Ramtala said, that he must be named. And you must be exposed, otherwise you must leave the ummah. That's little that you must say. And instead of taking the people to Jannah, the Shaykh has to take people to Jannah. He takes them now on this path, on the wrong path, making now virtue and then Muslim people, as the virtue is something like that. The virtue, and even if a person, he displays a miracle, don't be awed by that display. If his life is not 100% in conformity with the Sharia, this does not mean that he can be masu. 100% he has to lead a life to the best of his ability, 100% in conformity with the Sunnah. Look, occasional sin that everyone commits, besides the Anbiya. Everyone commits sin, but one does not just justify sin. When a person commits a sin, the closer that person is to Allah Ta'ala, the more remorse and regret will overtake the person. And remember that a person, a genuine buzruk, a genuine wali, sometimes what happens, Allah Ta'ala creates such circumstances to induce him to commit that sin for some reason. Treatment for him. Maybe that bosom developed some takabur ujub. which he himself is unable to detect. There's another sheikh to understand that. And there's no other sheikh to make the ta'lim, so Allah Ta'ala involved him now in some sense. And then thereafter, his regret, his tawbah, is of such a high degree that his rank become elevated to a higher level than what it was before. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, on his travels, came in the wilderness, one mountain. He came to one Buzruk was was on a mountain and came to Azam and gave me nasiyat. So they said, I could not nasiyat, can you go in the other mountain there, you'll find a very good Buzruk there, very good wali of Allah Ta'ala. You go there and get nasiyat from him. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi went and climbed that mountain. He came on top and saw in the distance there was a hut. There was a hut. And as he came closer, he saw a human leg decomposing, laying there. So he was very surprised. So, and when he came to the hut, he made salam. Then he got up and came towards the and saw that Buzruk has only one leg. Stick was walking. So then he understood that the leg is also a Buzruk, but it was now a mystery. What had happened here now, and why is his leg laying there? So after taking a lot of nasihat from that Buzruk before he departed, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, he asked that Buzruk, what is the explanation for this leg? It's obvious that he told him, what's the explanation for this? So that has said, I'm sitting in this, making itikaf here. Right? Itikaf here for the last 40 years. Right? Alone in the Kula. Recently, while I was sitting in my house, and gave the Kula, a woman passed by here. When a woman passed by here, I just got up. I just went to the window to just look. And immediately, the hafiz voice saying, oh, munafiq, is this the maqsad of your i'tikaf? You have renounced the dunya, made tark the dunya, you renounced the dunya and came here for this reason. You come here to look at women. So much to him. He was affected. And he was overwhelmed with grief. He said, I took the extra cut off my neck, punish myself. We're not discussing the masala. There's somebody else, he was in a house. He cut his leg and leave it to remind me of my evil. Whenever I go out, I have mind of my own evil, I think. So that is a sin of a buzur. So it doesn't mean because he's following the Sunnah 100%, he's not going to sin. Insan is because of nafs. I mean, the nafs of insan is inherent even. What did Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam? Huma ubari un nafsi. In the nafs al amar bi Yusuf. I don't say that my nafs is holy and my nafs is pure. Why? The nafs is a great commander of evil. Right? Even there also, Allah Ta'ala's protection was with Yusuf alayhi salam because Nabi Allah Ta'ala protected him. So the nafs, it is inherently evil. No Buzruk can claim that his nafs is pure and the nafs is completely safe from the nafs. That is a danger, it's a danger for a Buzruk. When he becomes overconfident in his on himself, on his willpower, on his ability to subdue the nafs, that's the time that the nafs will take advantage of it. Masai says that the nafs, a trained nafs, a nafs which has been trained by prolonged mujahada, is like a trained horse. But if the rider on the horse is neglectful and not alert, the horse will also throw, trained horse on one day, throw him also off. So you have to be always alert. That person has to be always alert, never giving the nafs the slightest opportunity. not at all. Our iman is safeguarded in a number of forts, number of forts. Shaitan does never make an attack on your iman initially, because there are several forts guarding one who centers your iman. Then you have the force of faraid. Then come the wajibat. Then the sunnah mu'akkada. Then sunnah ghair mu'akkada or nafil. And then come the mustahabbat. And then the adab. All these four are protecting your imam. Shaitan met one buzzer, one great buzzer among the Tibetabin, I just forgot his name. And Shaitan comes, he comes, and the Uliya, Mr. Ambiya also. He said, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. I don't put the wasasa of kufr in a Muslim. In a moment, I don't get it. What I do is I'm making an edict of halal. An edict of halal is reckless just because it's halal. Just because it's halal, you're reckless. So what happens now? If you don't exercise restraint, obviously you just leave alone the spiritual side, look at the physical side. You recklessly just eat any food, just halal food. You see your health will break down. You get diabetes, you get heart problems, all kinds of sickness will develop. To a greater extent, does it break down your spiritual, your ruhaniya, it gets completely destroyed by becoming an addict of halal. And then you will be unable now to control yourself with regard to mushtaba. And the Bishra says that when you indulge in mushtaba, you can be now sure that you can indulge now in haram. So we have to guard the adab of the ibadah, we have to guard the mustahabbat. You know, these terms, mustahab, from the mu'akkada, from the ghair mu'akkada, wajib, etc. The Sahaba were not aware of this classification of the ahkam. As far as the Sahaba were concerned, practically everything was far as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did something, ordered something, they followed everything, and they would not let up on it. The Fuqaha, Allah Ta'ala, created them for a specific purpose. They understood, for very foresighted people. They have to learn their Fuqaha was wonderful. It boggles your mind. A person who understands the Fuqaha, they have proper ilm, and you need their words and you understand what these people were super human. The faqat Allah Ta'ala said, the Sunday Bissarat, he said, Faqihun wahidun, ashadu ala shaitan, min alfi abid. That one faqih, he turned and hard on shaitan, then 1,000 abid. 1,000, and what's an abid? Abid is not a giant person who makes ibadah. An abid is a person, he devotes most of his time to ibadah, but he has sufficient in for his ibadah and for his necessity, for his daily needs. Not that person with a child. But Shaitan is able to overpower and overwhelm 1,000 of them easier than what he can, than a faqih. So these fuqaha, they were such people, they were very far-sighted. So they understood that in later than the ummah, was very weak, and they made the deduction from the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, told the Sahaba that you are living in such an age that if you neglect one tenth of the deen, you go to Jahannam. And there will come a time when they will be making amal on one tenth and neglecting nine tenths, but they will be generative. Now, this again must not be misunderstood. It applies to amal. Not to aqaid. The aqaid that has to be 100% as the aqaid of the Sahaba, not the principle. Yes, in the degree, in the strength, and the weakness of the aqaid, there are now different categories. For example, take the Tawheed. Sahaba believe in Tawheed and we also in Tawheed. Sahaba believe in Allah Ta'ala's Razaq. We also believe in Allah Ta'ala's Razaq. But there's a big difference in the quality of the belief. Allah Ta'ala's creation, Allah Ta'ala has been Nazi. Sahaba believe that, we believe that. Anyone who don't believe that, doesn't believe it, is not a Muslim. So as far as the Aqidah is concerned, we believe in all the Aqidah of the Sahaba. But there's a difference in the quality. We say Allah Ta'ala is Hazi, is Nazi. Allah Ta'ala is here, is present, is seeing us. No Muslim has got any difference of opinion in this belief. The 24 hours, every second Allah Ta'ala is aware of our actions. Then we believe that there are two malaika with us. Quran and Qatib, always writing. They are always with us. No, we're sitting here also now, we believe all these people are Hazir here. No person in this group here is going to commit a sin now publicly. No one will do it. No matter how much he desires to commit a sin, he's not going to commit it here publicly. Why? He understands that these people are looking. He will be just very humiliated. I can't do it in the presence. Yet he'll go alone and he'll commit a sin. But when he's alone, he believes Allah Ta'ala is here. Allah Ta'ala is seeing me. The malaika here recording. So how is that possible now? Why? When he believes that Allah Ta'ala is here, he's seeing me, he's still committed. I still commit the sin. But when the others are here, I won't commit it. But when Allah Ta'ala is here, I commit the sin. That now shows how big our iman is. Someone asked Imam Abu Hanifa, right? Those were close to him. He never on one day ever saw him without the topi, even when he's alone in his room. Did you think I feel ashamed for the malaika warrior? So there is this heart, the perception of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the perception of the malaika, it was very strong again. It was real, not like us. It's a remote belief in us. We believe in Qiyamah, no one believes it. But that belief in Qiyamah, that belief in what is not sufficient to deter us from disobedience, from sin. Our eyes only open at the time of mort now. Then that paralysis, the time of mort, it wears off now there. That, and you become now alive now at the time of mort now. But before that, we are dead. So I say that our qaid, our beliefs are exactly the same as the Sahaba. But Nabi Sa'asim said that one thing, he said, make amal on one thing, they go to Jannah. In other words, as far as the practical deeds are concerned. As far as the practical deeds are concerned, we are exceptionally weak in this amal. If Hajjana, you look at even at the amal of the ulama also, we belong to the ulama of the ulama also. How many of us, take for example, will be 24 hours of the good with you? Abstaining from mustahabat, observing in the tahabbat, etc., etc. So, in the time of the Sahaba, these ahkam were not categorized in this manner. It has been done for our benefit, that we should understand that if we don't do it this way, now, I mean, there's a lot, this is the limit now. You can go to this extent and you will at least be in a safe area. You won't be committing a sin. So it was for our benefit, but the objective of categorizing the Ahkam was not to neglect the Ahkam. Or because the Mustahab was neglecting. Now that is a big problem in the Madari. They teach the Ustadiyah, they teach also in this manner as if Mustahab is something insignificant. If not Mustahab, people, children, they don't understand that. And what really is the meaning of Mustahab? If it's Mustahab, no, if you do it, oh, that's sawab. If you don't do it, it's no sin. They will understand on the day of Qiyamah, they understand the thing. What is the meaning of Mustahab and the value of that act of wrongdoing? Mustahab, you'll understand it there. If you don't understand it here, you'll understand it there, but it will be too late. The value of two rakats in namaz, nothing namaz here. there, you can perform a million rakats there in the Akhir in Jannat. It won't equal the value of the two rakats that you perform there in the dunya. Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity of the dunya. He has given us this wonderful opportunity. No matter how rotten the dunya is, a dunya jifa in the Bishrah, this world is carrion. But it's a golden opportunity. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity here. Make the best use of the opportunity. The time of this dunya is very valuable. The time. You are allowed to take from this jifa, from this carrion, only that amount of carrion to save your life. And this person is starving, dying, there's no other food, only haram food, only pork there, then it's wadi for him to eat a little bit of pork just to save him. He can't fill himself with the pork, but then eat a little bit to save him, to save his life. So you are allowed to take from the carrion only what is absolutely necessary. So that's the same thing from the jifa of the dunya. You have to dictate what is necessary for our journey, where? On the back, home. We see from home, our home is Jannat. Our father was created there. That is our home, we are only on a temporary journey, so we are heading back home. So if we are going to get lost here, because we get diseased here with all the carrion here, and we are going to lose ourselves, then we won't have any capital, any provision to take us back home. Now even more time, now it is too late. Even more time, it is too late. So it is necessary that we find the truth. We have to create an awareness. We have to create the truth and things which you can't want into, can't wish into. It's a struggle. Mujahada. We, as the Vishrasan, has given us a prescription. We have that and left remedies for us, in which we have to doctor ourselves and treat ourselves. Hasibu kabla to hasibu. You must take a reckoning of yourself before a reckoning is going to be demanded. Then what? Aksibu zika hasibu al-jati al-mod. You must increase the remembrance of that being, of that entity, before shiva yodhilaita is more. Then muraqabah, mawt and mu'asabah, these are now exercises and amal with the resource of itself as ordered and five exercises, and this is what is being practiced now. The khanka is the place of islah of the nafs. Khanka is a place of prescribed terms of azkar. That's another, no bayan, what's the meaning of dhikr today. Those who are supposed to be the sheikh of the soul today, they don't understand even the meaning of dhikr. What is the meaning of dhikr? They have now confined and, dhikr. If there is no halka dhikr, there is no basis in the sunnah. It's no basis in the khair al-qurun. It is really a remedy. It's a remedy for a short while. And it has to be practiced in silence, in seclusion, out of the eye of the public. It's not an act of ibadat. It's not. Ibadat is only what is Muslim. Ibadat is only what exists as ibadat during the khair al-qurun. Besides that, nothing is ibadat. Anything which has been introduced and given the form of ibadat after khair al-qurun, that was the cut-off date, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself cut off, they said, this is the last final date of khair al-qurun. Yes, it has no relation to the ibadah. So I say there, those who are the sheikh nowadays, they don't even understand the meaning of dhikrullah. What is the meaning of dhikrullah? And what is the maqsad of the tasawwuf? Way of gaining the objectives of the tasawwuf? That also is not known to Ramashai. Everyone is lost. Dallu wa dallu, as he says. They will be astray.
So I'm aware of the population here because The ulama among themselves, yes. they were some masajid, they said no, because they're very different.
And the error of it is so direct,
yes.
So clear. You don't need that akal and ilm to understand the thing is wrong, it's taking place here. Ummah is getting destroyed more and more. And by those who are supposed now to be the guides, then Abdullah bin Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala said, among the signs of Qiyamah, for ultimately the dunya, the amal al-akhirah, that they will search for the dunya with the amal of the akhirah. Itikaf is the amal of the akhirah. You search for the dunya, then fame, pomp, pleasure, merry making, getting hadith, sheikh will get a lot of hadiyat. That is not the way that a person, a wise and a be, and conduct himself in this moment. And this is mass etiquette that is now. A recent bidat. Just started now. Every time now we find something else. I mean, at one stage, our ulama were all condemning the Bareilly for the halka zikr. Now all people were involved in it. Everyone was condemning them. Now all people are listening.
Some masajid, which are near the big masjid, they're all a mess. Now that masjid, the itikaf no more takes place. I've seen this in my eyes. So I was the one to ask, why are you going to sit in your own masjid? You know, the food is very nice.
Every day that the amount of money is being wasted. Yet the people are suffering all over. The people are suffering, becoming murtad. Why? Because of the poor poverty and ignorance together. They grow up from childhood without any. So many, many, many hundreds and thousands of villages where the child grows up from child to adulthood. And as long as the child lived, they didn't hear their hands. No mercy, nothing. We know what purpose we have seen this place, we have went to the child's place. Yes, look how much they have seen. In these places, you can operate a madrasa, a maktab. Heart maktab for 1,000 rand a month. You save the iman of 1,500 children with 1,000 rand. You pay the ustad a whole year, 12,000 rand a week for the whole year. And you know, imagine now in that maktab, 100 children, some maktab 200, some maktab 300 children, so many children in this maktab. And they get their basic mentality. All these places you go to, what you find on end, there's no place in the world, no matter how remote it is. You come there, you find the Christian is in the place. You find that they are there, they are working there. We are the people, we are supposed to be there, and this is what among our people. Right? Now those people are dying, completely dying, and they poor, poverty. Now they put up a community center, they clean now, they are in it. And they food to clean and food to clean. They have a lot of funds available. Government institutions, United Nations board, the UNESCO board, they're all over. They are taking for them. So, and then on top, you have the so called Muslim government opposing those who are Muslims who are working now, they have to work now also silently. So, I say that. Our people don't understand these issues, no matter how much they spend, they waste money, left, right, and center on haram. But the check of the ummah is thinking, all over. Now, over there, Arabia, you see, on the bush, there's only a few. There are hundreds of thousands of them scattered all over. Well, it's difficult to see there. But
they take the initiative now after the West. First, what happened? We were both Malaysia, Indonesia, they were driving them over. The natives told them both to push them back into the ocean. 100% were drowned. They don't allow them to them. Now, when the West has taken the initiative now, and they are sent out now, their Navy is now on rescue operation to save these people. Now, Malaysia and Indonesia, they are also coming on board now. But you'll find everything, they take the initiative first. Right? That is because the Allah Ta'ala has made them rulers now, ordained to be the rulers of the city. The Western man is still, no matter what, we shall be contended. But Allah Ta'ala has for this time still chosen them, and they are ruling the world, and they are ruling us. We are not fit to rule. We haven't got that ability. Muslims haven't got that ability. Allah Ta'ala has given so much wealth in Muslim men. There's no shortage of wealth. Everything has it. But it's just that is wasted. And they are manipulating our wealth. Now the Allah Ta'ala has given them that ability. So I say that they take the initiative and then the Muslim follow also.
This is one last question, then other brothers and ulama, I'm sure, have questions, but Brother Baladar, he was in long life, and we all make dua for it also. But we also have to say the reality now. The Sahaba came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, that after you, then who do we go? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that you will say, no, but I say, no, so this is what on the earth, this is doing all this, with no ordinary person can do.
Well, I'm weak, actually.
But after Hazrat, I myself, who Hazrat suggests we should go to? Really speaking, is a big question.
I know very well, myself, and said, that is all five of the Ummati. That is all five of the Ummati. Yuqatilun ala al-haqqi. La yadurruhum. من خالفهم أو قتلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. There will always remain a group, small group, a tiny group. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. How many small groups there were who vanquished, conquered great armies. So Allah Ta'ala says, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there always remain a small group who will be firm and fight on the haq, and those who oppose them, and those who don't assist them won't be able to harm them. That's the Amrullah, until the Akumahan of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is the thing, wherever there's a vacuum, Allah Ta'ala creates someone, he puts somebody there. Every vacuum Allah Ta'ala will create. Because Allah Ta'ala said, Inna nahm nazalna fitra wa inna lawul hafizim, you will protect me, Allah Ta'ala. Allah.
I suggested rather than sitting there by himself doing nothing, I suggest you rather go there where there is a program.
It's wrong. Because it's not the time of program.
On the other hand, the importance of the Sunnah, the importance of prayer is not in him.
Yeah, they should give them such a kitab to read, well, in authority. Inshallah, we learn from there.
There are many such people who are sort of lacking on the basics, that means they want to sit in the car,
but they
not knowing what they're sitting for.
But if they get books, they learn from the books. They can sit in there, and they can read there, and the barakat of the seclusion, people are more than awesome. But if they get caught up in a function, in a very making kind of aircraft, it's not going to have any effect. Yeah, it's not going to have effect. When I started advancing from the Bishwas, he said, Manku Mastaka, Shinna Fi Inda Fasadi, Ummati Salaam, Altun Yati Shaheed. Those, whoever clings to my sunnah at the time of the corruption of my ummah, will get the sawab of 100 shuhada, 100 shaheed people to have them. Now this sunnah is the thing of listening to the azan and responding to it, it is directly a die down amongst the scholars, among the ulama also, even speaking also, continuing in time, teaching at the time. I'm aware that there's an opinion, you know, if you teach that thing, you can continue that. But it's a long bayan on that also. It's not just as they see it, there's an explanation for that. But the issue is that the instruction of the disciples is the teaching of it. That when the azan are being called, then you must decide it. One. Second, you must listen. And third, you must respond. And in the end, you decide to do shirk and make a dua. So the echo of ibadah on yourself. Right? You're making your tilawat, or you're teaching there, or you're doing something. You can, nothing, you're not going to lose anything if you stop that. If you terminate it. But here you lose the entire ibadah. There's no qadha for this ibadah. No one left it. You have no one left it. The issue of that thing of they can continue with the time. It refers to, you know, the fuqaha in those times, the shaykh in those times, they didn't teach some kitab. They never taught some kitab. You lose nothing. Whatever they teach, the start now, they make mutala from the kitab and you teach that. Those people didn't have kitab. Whatever we see, all these huge thousands and thousands of volumes of kitab, it was all ilhami. It came there from Allah Ta'ala's side. And they would speak as it comes into them. You have four mahfuz in front of them and they speak and it comes. If they can't stop there. Yeah, they can't interrupt the thing. For them it's okay. Not for our people like us, because you lose nothing, the thing close the club. Why? And you teach them the students. For that you say you go anywhere there at the time. You see, we can learn teaching. You see how the while Azan is going, all the students paid. No, you know the other people Azan. Allah Ta'ala is calling you. No other, they're laughing, joking, cracking, joking, doing whatever they were trying to do. So, practically, the sunnah, which is a wajib, sunnah is a, when you say sunnah, you get certain acts of sunnah are farad, certain acts of the sunnah are wajib, certain acts of sunnah are sunnah, waqt, etc., etc. So, when you say sunnah doesn't mean that, means something which is not farad. So, this sunnah act of ibadah, the thing also, listening and responding to the azan. It is so, it's something of vital importance, so much that I think, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Nawawi or maybe some other faqih said that those who indulge in worldly conversation at the time of the Azan, if that happens, then the fear of Surah Khatima. The Imam also is in danger. May Allah keep us safe on the part of Imam, right? No one saw the guarantee but Allah.
Thank you.